You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by Faith McDonnell, a woman of great heart and courage who has been a champion for many in distant lands, often, who have no voice in our own. She is, at the moment, the director of religious liberty programs and of the Church Alliance for a New Sudan at the Institute for Religion and Democracy. She is an activist of the First Order, holding vigils and helping with legislation, and an author of many things, including a terrific book, Girl Soldier, A Story of Hope for Northern Uganda's Children. Faith, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's always good to have you with us.
Hi, Frank. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
You have been following particularly closely and for a long time the birth pains and now the terrible tribulations of South Sudan. And I want to talk to you a bit about north of the border as well, the country known as Sudan. But let's start with the South. What is the latest on what's happening there, Faith McDonnell?
Oh, Frank, a really disturbing report that came out from the UN this week about the supposedly the government of South Sudan soldiers committing terrible atrocities against the people who were aligned with the former vice president. These would be civilians. And it seems like a repeat of the things that the government of Sudan did to people. I have my hesitations about the truth of the entire report. So I know that there have been terrible atrocities, but I also know that things are not always as they seem, and that the UN and the former vice president of South Sudan, Riek Machar, who is definitely an evil man, have been the truth hasn't always been told about him by the UN or by the U.S. government.
Faith McDonnell is joining us to talk about a very long-suffering part of the world, Sudan, and in particular the part of Sudan that is now known as South Sudan. And Faith, you were talking about the UN and characterizations of the conduct of one of the parties to the conflict. Just remind us of the nature of the conflict that is afflicting the people of South Sudan at the moment.
Sure, Frank. Well, in the fall of 2013, the former vice president, he had no position at the time. He had been vice president and had been kicked out of his position because of really treasonous acts against the government. He staged a coup against the government of South Sudan, and the government of South Sudan was able to hold on, but things have just been bad ever since then, with tribal conflicts coming up as a result of this. And so the latest thing that has happened with all this, as there have been peace agreements tried and not really done very well, is that the UN has come out with a report from this time of conflict that started in 2013 that says that the government of South Sudan soldiers burned people alive, raped people, things like this, the things that you used to hear and still hear about the government of Sudan. And we don't want to see the government of South Sudan fall into that. I need to do more research to find out the truth of this, because I don't think you always get the UN giving you the truth.
But let me ask you this. Yeah, there's definitely terrible affliction taking place there, probably at the hands of all of the parties to some extent. We'll be talking shortly with Russ Dahlin about Venezuela, another country that is rich with oil, and it seems as though there's a special curse on those countries in a way. But give us a flavor of, Faith McDonnell, of what the country that previously was such a nightmare for the people, the Christians of South Sudan, namely the Islamists of Sudan, the government in Khartoum, what they may be doing to contribute to this conflict, perhaps animated by a desire to get access once again to the oil resources that are now outside of their national territory.
That's exactly right, Frank. And yes, indeed, I have no doubt that Sudan has been documented as giving weapons to Riek Machar, the former vice president, and to his rebel groups. And this is also a distraction for them from what they continue to do in both Darfur and in the Nuba Mountains. Right now, they're attacking the Nuba Mountains, mostly by aerial bombardment, and it does not look good for the rebels who are fighting against them in Darfur. In fact, Sudan expert Professor Eric Reeves says that if Jebel Marra, which is the capital of Darfur, falls, that all of the attention that Khartoum is using, bombing the people there, killing the people, displacing them, will then all be focused on the Nuba Mountains. They have Sukhoi 25s and Antonovs that have been refurbished to use as bombers. And people are dying. People are being displaced. And the plan is to displace these people and replace them with Arabs from other countries to continue to build what my friends call the Andalusia on the Nile. They want to, they're building a caliphate as much as ISIS is.
We have been told that the government of Sudan has moderated with respect to its Islamism. That's not your assessment of it, I take it, Faith McDonald.
Not at all, no. In fact, we barely managed to hang on to the terrorist sanctions against Sudan because they have mounted such a charm offensive in the United States and seem to be such, you know, great guys. In fact, we did, just last week, the U.S. lifted sanctions against a cement company in Sudan. And you may think, well, you know, big deal, a cement company. This is the company that's going to build the dams that will dam the Nile and flood out the entire area in Nubia in the far north and displace those people so that they can, again, bring in Arab Islamists from other countries to take that land.
And this would presumably have considerable implications for those downstream of the Nile, like our friends in Egypt, for example. Faith, so much to worry about here. Let me just ask you about another development. As I understand it, the Obama administration is obliged by an act of Congress to make a determination by the 17th of March, just a few days from now, about whether there is, in fact, a genocide taking place at the hands most especially of the Islamic State, but whether in fact it's more broadly being applied against Christians. Give us a flavor of what you expect the administration to do on this.
Oh, boy. Well, the administration has not given good signs that they are going to make a genocide determination, at least for Christians. They are talking about that the case is much stronger for the Yazidis. Well, we believe it's strong for the Yazidis, too, but we also believe that this is genocide against the Christians. There's no doubt about it. And in any other time in our history, this would be a no-brainer. But today, actually, the House of Representatives is voting on a resolution about genocide. So that may put a little bit more pressure on the administration. It's expected that the House will pass this easily. And this resolution names specifically Yazidis and Christians, as well as the Mandeans and some other religious minorities in Iraq and Syria. So
well, by the time this airs, we will know the outcome of it. I'm very appreciative of your efforts in all of these areas, Faith McDonald and the Institute for Religion and Democracy. You chair its religious liberty programs with great effect, and we're deeply grateful to you for your coming on to talk about them from time to time. We'll do it again very soon. Next up is promised. Russ Dallin, a businessman and publisher of the International Latin American edition of the Herald Tribune, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.